United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, in cooperation with the Institute for Priestly Formations, presents Father Thomas Berg in conversation with our host, Chris McGregor, on the topic of the value of priestly fraternity. Father Thomas Berg is a theology professor and vice rector at St. Joseph Seminary in New York.
Father Berg, thank you so much for joining us today.
Great to be with you, Chris.
We want to have a conversation about a priestly fraternity and how that really is an integral part of experiencing the grace that comes from the sacrament, the great gift of holy orders. What's been your experience?
My experience is that most priests, the vast majority of priests, value and treasure what we would call priestly fraternity, but in reality, it's something of a rare flower. I'm sad to say, but I guess I would make a distinction between priestly camaraderie, which is quite common, and genuine priestly fraternity. I think there's a distinction, and I actually think a lot of priests either confuse what is simply camaraderie for genuine priestly fraternity, or they just take what they can get, you know. And don't get me wrong, priestly camaraderie is a good thing, you know, good-natured banter, a little bit of back-slapping humor, some good laughs over, you know, over a meal together. That's camaraderie, and that's fine as far as it goes. It's unfortunate, by the way, though, that there's always a certain percentage of priests that will back away from even that. Just let me take care of my parish and leave me alone. I don't even want to be bothered by that. That's unfortunate. But so I think though that genuine priestly fraternity corresponds to needs, deeper needs in priests that mere priestly camaraderie can't often get to. Priests can have a fairly good diet of camaraderie, you know, whether it's at the deanery meetings or other, you know, priestly gatherings or so forth, ordinations and Christmas time and maybe class reunions and so forth. But there are certain needs that, like I say, fraternity really should get to. You know, you can have camaraderie, but never feel challenged. A priest can have camaraderie, but never feel called to holiness. And never feel perhaps a healthy sense of accountability. I think genuine fraternity can and should get at all of that. You can experience camaraderie without ever attaining emotional intimacy. Fraternity, if it's, you know, worth its salt, should provide that too. You can have camaraderie and never feel supported. In fact, you can even walk away from an evening of camaraderie and feel still rather lonely or even empty. So if we're engaging in genuine priestly fraternity, what we're really talking about there, I think, is friendship. And friendship that allows for sharing, for being vulnerable, for perhaps opening up some emotions that are difficult. It provides an opportunity maybe for a brother priest even to challenge me. Challenge me on something that he sees going on in my life. Fraternity should be the place where I feel loved, where I feel supported, where I feel nurtured and encouraged along a path of holiness. So, of course, for all of that to happen, there we're really talking about friendship and not merely acquaintances. You know, we're talking about genuine friendship and brotherhood. So, like, in that sense, I think that that does exist, but experience tells me, and you know, I've heard it from priests. I have a priest friend who's a sociologist who works for the Center for Applied Research on the Apostolate, CARA. You know, he's shared with me, as I have others, and just my experience from around the country, that genuine priestly fraternity that provides all of the above that I've just been talking about, that's oftentimes a fairly rare bird. And it's sad because I think the need for it is greater than ever.
What you seem to be describing, so in a quite wonderful way, is a very deep relationship. I mean, where a trust level has to be established in that relationship. It can't just be something superficial, can it, Father?
No. And it's very easy for priest to priest to kind of fall into that superficiality. And that's exactly right. We need something deeper. And I think in practice, I mean, the reality is, I think most priests, what we do is we do have a cohort of, you know, three or four close brother priests that we're close to. And those are the ones that, you know, we could open up to emotionally. Even though I think for a lot of priests, that's just very, very hard. As much as we preach that to the four winds and we counsel people and we try, you know, we talk about communication and we talk to married couples and the importance of communication, and we're preparing couples for, you know, for marriage and so forth, and counseling, and we're often our own worst enemies. And we shoot ourselves in the foot a lot of times when we don't pursue that kind of fraternity intentionally. I think any priest who really wants fraternity, the only way it happens is if you pursue it intentionally. We have to make it happen to get beyond the superficiality that sometimes we can just settle for.
In any type of relationship, especially those that are godly relationships, those who help us and to continue on that conversion road towards Christ, there has to be in that relationship, again, that element of trust that will allow for a gentle probing by the other to try to help mirror whatever's going on, whether it's a spiritual question, a life question, whatever that might be. And in marriage, oftentimes, especially for men, the wife, the female in the relationship, because of their maternal nurturing nature, has a tendency to explore and kind of get in there and demand answers in some ways. I'm just speaking as a wife of 34 years. But there is something in that grace of holy orders, and particularly in your vocational call, it doesn't have to miss out on that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think there's two dimensions to that, to the that kind of probing, loving accompaniment that we all need, and priests need that. By the mere fact that we too are human beings. Now, part of that could and should ideally be provided by the figure of a spiritual director. I think the reality on the ground is that it's really a very low percentage of priests who have a spiritual director to whom they go. They might have very least they might have a, please God, we all should have a confessor that we go to, but even more importantly, the figure of a spiritual director, that's especially the person who not only we could be accountable to and should be accountable to, that's the person who, much like in that kind of mother, spouse, in the way that you were just describing as a spouse or as a mother, with that spirit can probe, can question, can challenge. Now, lacking that, then that makes priest friendship even more urgent, because then it would fall on the shoulders, the responsibility on a brother priest who's a friend, with whom, you know, who could take on that responsibility to some degree, to a lesser degree, but hopefully could take on that responsibility and probe. So, I mean, there's that person who, with whom I should be accountable, who could call me to holiness, who can probe. Then there's just that the need that each of us has for emotional intimacy. Now, that's emotional intimacy is lived in different ways according to our different states in life. A married couple lives that in a very, very different way than a chaste celibate does. But even the chaste celibate has a legitimate need for that engaging on an emotional level in friendship, to give and receive affection in appropriate ways, etc. That is a need that, again, that is a need that should be provided not only by healthy lay friendships, but especially by priest friendships and by priestly fraternity. So there's, you know, we're getting at some very deep needs that are there. And part of the problem is that, frankly, I think a lot of priests either see fulfilling all of that or trying to respond to all of that is just too much work. And I mean, there's any number of very real obstacles to the kind of priestly fraternity that we've just been talking about. I mean, just physical distance sometimes, obviously, in some parts of the country. That's a very real problem. You know, it's not ill will on anybody's part, but you know, the next priest is, you know, a couple hundred miles away in the next town over, or you know, or just the growing number of responsibilities as the, you know, number of vocations is not kind of at an adequate replacement rate for priests who are dying and retiring. Responsibilities grow. There's the generational gap, which is very real, and that's there. But I think there can be a Superman complex, and there can be, you know, a person who, you know, well, I just, you know, my fulfillment comes through ministry. I think that's a sophism. I think that can be a cop out, and that can actually be that can disguise some real emotional insecurity. You know, the priest who essentially, you know, marries his ministry may be a person who has never engaged in deep friendships and may have never been able to acknowledge his need for emotional intimacy or understand how to satisfy that appropriately in the context of chaste celibacy. So those are some very real obstacles too. So again, something of a rare flower. It is out there, it exists, but where it exists, it's because priests have come together intentionally to pursue it and to make priestly fraternity happen.
Yeah, I think that's the key to even bring it back to what you had said earlier, that there are the friendships that you have that are, you know, we're going to go to the movie together, we're going to go do a few things, and we can, and I don't mean to be irreverent, but I mean just pal around and be guys. Yeah. You know, yeah. You need those kind of things. But as you said, there's an intentionality to this. But we're going to foster in this particular, this is a reverential, this is holy ground here, these friendships, that fraternity that needs to be sought out and desired and quest for it. And if it's not present in one's heart, that right there should be, someone's listening, that's not there. That needs to be explored, doesn't it?
Yes. Yeah. Why wouldn't you want priest fraternity? Why do you throw in the towel so easily? You know, and it, like, when I say intentional, I mean, I really can't stress that enough, because I know in my own experience, even with brother priests who with whom I have priestly fraternity, it's still a lot of work just to get to dinner together. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, months can still go by because it's, you know, it's not ill will on our part, but it just, our schedules are, you know, so to make it happen, you really have to want to, but it's a very important question that any priest should be asking themselves. If I don't want this, why is that? Have I thrown in the towel some way? Am I fooling myself in some way? Am I telling myself that I don't need this? Am I shutting myself off? Am I closing down my emotional life? Have I just kind of become hardened by cynicism and by negativity? You know, I think it's easy, you know, when I think most priests get to priesthood wanting this. Mm-hmm. It's a very difficult moment to kind of pass through, to realize that this is not going to be easier. This is not there. And I say that thinking especially of our younger generations of priests. You know, there are dioceses where, you know, there is, you know, priestly fraternities out there. There are dioceses where you can honestly say, you know, it's very, very hard to find. You can have dioceses where morale is quite low, where cynicism has pretty much taken the day, so that even the getting together of priests turns into complaining and negativity. And well, I wouldn't want that. I wouldn't, if I were looking for fraternity, I wouldn't want that, and I wouldn't go to it. So a lot of priests, some priests who want the real deal, tend to stay away from gatherings of priests because they know that the only thing that's going to go on there is complaining and negativity. And so it's easy to throw in the towel. But I was saying, I think of our younger generations of priests, the millennial priests, one of the real dangers that they are facing is, and part of this speaks to the generational gap, but they're getting out of seminary and into their first few years of ordinations and suddenly being confronted with a tremendous amount of isolation. Maybe because it's difficult to keep up friendships that they started in the seminary, and maybe because they end up in a diocese where there is no culture of priestly fraternity, of the genuine thing, the real deal. And that is quite a problem that that they need to sort out, and you know, they need support on that. But I don't know. I know that very often they are not prepared for the kind of isolation that they encounter. And that's a real problem. And that's where priests have the responsibility. We need to be looking out for our younger brothers and creating opportunities for fraternity for them, for the perseverance.
You bring up an important aspect of all of this, that shepherding, setting the example, witnessing to it. And really, quite frankly, Father, there is no one who can do it better, ideally, in a diocese than the bishop. At this point, is there something you would like to encourage in the hearts of those bishops to be able to make sure that this occurs? Or how can they establish priestly fraternity or make sure that it's happening within their scope?
Absolutely. I mean, that's an excellent question. I think it's very easy for anyone to, as we often do, you know, to look to the bishop and obviously, yes, I mean, I think bishops can and do play a very important role in creating a sense of fraternity. I think certainly their engagement with their priests and the nature of that engagement sets a tone. It sets a tone. For where fraternity exists, there has to be trust. I don't expect to be buddies with my bishop. I don't think any priest necessarily does. I don't think that's even, that's a requirement or that's something that we're looking for. Do we look for a paternal figure? Ideally, yes. Is that the reality on the ground in every diocese? It's not. And that's just, those are just the facts. Every bishop sets a tone. We've had particularly sore challenges to the relationship between bishop and priest in light of the scandal of pre-sexual abuse that the church has been dealing with for the past 15 years now. Mm-hmm. That definitely changed the relationship. Some ways for the worse, but there have also been some positive, obviously positive things that have come from as well in that priest-bishop relationship. So the bishop can certainly remind us of the importance of fraternity. He can try to set a tone. He can try to seek in his relationships to imbue his presbyterate with a sense of trust. Not easy. But I think when the day's done, I still look to priests to be the primary players there. I don't expect the bishop to be responsible for priestly fraternity in his diocese. I mean, I think it really falls on our shoulders. If we want fraternity, we have to make it happen. We have to be the ones who make it happen. And especially with that sense of responsibility for one another and responsibility for the newly ordained. I think that's the newly ordained very easily fall between the cracks in that sense. They might be looking to the bishop for a father figure and figuring out and finding out that, well, that's not going to be the case exactly. They might be expecting, I don't know what archdiocesan office or entity or person in leadership to be some kind of safety net for them, and they find out that's not the case either. We find out in reality that as priests, we're forced to live a rather rugged individualism, but we can't let that corrode our need for fraternity, for brotherhood, for encounter, for accompanying one another, for friendship, for priest friendship. So it's a kind of a difficult mix, and it's challenging. And there's obstacles to that. But again, now, obviously, with the grace of the Holy Spirit, our Lord knows what we need. Our Lord certainly knows we need priestly fellowship. So if we place our best effort there, God's grace will not be lacking, and the Holy Spirit can lead us and guide us. If we want it, he will lead us to that fraternity. Mm.
It comes down to the heart of the priest, of the individual. First, that awareness, bringing that to Christ, and then desiring it. So in a very real way, it's an act of the will, isn't it, Father?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Like I say, I mean, you got to want it, but then when you grace works on nature. So, and grace even, is really what's inspiring that need. I mean, I think any priest who's working at seeking out priestly fraternity, and seeking out spiritual direction for that matter, or making sure that he gets to see his confessor regularly. I mean, the Holy Spirit is obviously very, very active in the life of that priest. So fraternity, no matter what the challenges are, it's possible and it does exist. And I think sometimes too, we need to just, maybe we need to go someplace where it's thriving. I mean, maybe we need to go, maybe we know of another diocese where they happen to have particular programs, or they have particular meetings, or some, you know, chapter of a national priestly fraternity or something that we might have heard of. Maybe we just need to go and expose ourselves to that and experience it, and then bring that back to our own diocese. I mean, you know, but like I say, it doesn't, it just underlines the need to be intentional about it. If we're passive, if we keep on saying, well, yeah, well, someday I want that to happen.
Father, I wish we had more time, but in concluding our conversation, do you have any final thoughts?
I think the thought that keeps coming back is just the challenges to priestly fraternity are not going away. They're becoming greater. Add to that the many additional ways that elements within the culture now make it even easier for us to isolate ourselves. Mm-hmm. The gadgets, the internet, the iPhone, so many things. So I want to reiterate the need that knowing that it's important is not enough. We have to apply our willpower, and we've got to make it happen. And also to bear with the challenges. I mean, I've also had the experience of trying to start a priestly fraternity group, and we got together a couple times, and then it just kind of fell through, you know. And so you've got to also stick with it. This may take time, you know. And certainly let's rely on and foster the priest friendships that we have. We shouldn't take those for granted, because when the day's done, that's where we're really going to have very often the fraternity that we can get. It's going to be with those priest friends. We need to cultivate those friendships. We need to see each other regularly. We need to get together for dinner. We need to have a good talk. We need to go out to movies and talk the talk and share difficulties and be vulnerable with each other and minister to each other as brother priests. If we do that, that will bode very well for not only our perseverance, but also for our personal holiness.
Mm, well said, Father. Thank you so very much.
Great to be with you. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. There are more resources for you on the IPF website. Just click on the Resources button and find IPF publications, videos, talks, and more features to assist you in your priestly life and ministry.